Now we're talking about the power of Christ working in us for the ability to move forward in God. Now this morning we dealt with two situations involving the one point about seeing and running, being able to see. The Lord being able to clarify your vision of what He's wanting to do in your life. And you don't have to be able, I don't think, to give 25 descriptions of what God is wanting to do. But you do need a general picture outlined in Scripture about what God's wanting to do in your life. And that's not a difficult task. If you're sick, God wants you healed. Amen. If you're discouraged, God wants you encouraged. If you're down, God wants you. Amen. So if you're tired, God wants you rested. So that's not a difficult plan, or it's not a difficult vision. But it is vitally important for you to have a vision of where God's carrying you, and that you're on a journey to there. Now, I want you to know God will. If we will allow the Holy Spirit to do a work, God will always go further than your vision. Because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, He does exceedingly abundantly above what we ever we would ask or think or even hope or desire. So God has further planned. But it's so important that we're pursuing, that we're moving forward toward the goal, toward the direction that God is calling our lives to come out of these dilemmas that the enemy's tried to place us in and come to that place to where we will see the promised miracle. Everybody say the promised miracle. Praise God. Now, we started off this morning, said the first thing we have to do, we have to start with the discipline. Start with the natural and believe God for the supernatural. Start with the place that you can and believe in God for where you can't. And then we talked about then how important then it was then to be able to be strong in what you're allowing to take place and what you disallow. The Bible says what you disallow has to be what's disallowed in heaven. And what you allow has to be what is allowed in heaven. If God's going to do a great work in you, then you have to be protective of your heart. And we've got to allow the Lord to purify. If you want a pure river of power and strength and grace, God has this marvelous, powerful river of resurrection power that God has flowing deep within each of our spirits. But what the problem is, when God gets ready to flow that power, when we desperately need that power, we've allowed the enemy to plant tares and contaminants, which has weakened the power of that. Instead of bringing life into our situations, we usually end up hurting our own circumstances. And we're giving way to mental battles in our mind where the Lord expects us to police our thoughts. You will never go further than the thoughts that you have on the inside. If you allow thoughts of discouragement, that's where your ship will end up. So what you must do, you must begin to resist and fight against your mind being a traffic way of the enemy. Now, sometimes it seems like a losing battle, because especially if you're in the midst of a real targeted battle, something going on in your life to where that it literally means your future, your happiness, your joy, and things really working out in your life. And it's a real targeted battle that the enemy, he works overtime to place these thoughts, to create these thought roadways in through our mind. But we've just got to stand up, and we've got to resist it, because the enemy is trying hard as he can to change the pure to impure and to weaken the strength of God that God has in you. Now, God's going to be able to do in all of our lives, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, in that same verse, says He does things abundantly above all that we ask or think, even hope or desire, according to the power that's working in us. See, that's what we've got to protect. We've got to protect the power that God has flowing in us. Amen. Because that power that's flowing in us is to bring life to wherever that river flows. Right. That's what the basic principle of laying on of hands is. That's why it's a doctrine, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. It's the doctrine of laying on hands. It's not just the way we pray. It's not a Pentecostal thing. But it's a flow of power. It's the flow of that river that God desires that when you and I would lay hands on the sick, what would happen? What does the Bible say? They recover. Lay hands on the sick. That's the one of the problems. Lay hands on the sick and what? They recover. Because that river of power that we have guarded, the Bible says above all else, guard your heart, that we've guarded that and protected, not allow contaminants. Now the enemy comes in with all types of things. Unforgiveness, hardness, bitterness, judgments, things we've got no business saying, no business thinking at all. God's called us to a place of seclusion of holiness. God's called us to a place of holiness. And a lot of times, to be in that place of holiness, we just have to literally shut our mouth. And a lot of times, we have to shut down our thinking patterns. Because if we allow the enemy, he will weaken everything that God has put in us to be strong to change our situation that's coming down the road. So we're going to talk about a little bit. We're going to go to the next step. And the next step is how to draw strength for the journey. So not only must we see the light that we're journeying toward there to behold the miracle that God has for each one of us, but there must be also this area to where that we're going to be able to gain strength for the journey. Now, I believe that as a believer, we're obligated before God. We're obligated before God to learn how to short circuit. You know, a lot of times electricians, they will short circuit on purpose. And we need to learn how to short circuit our own normal, rational power flow. And we've got to learn how to connect with a source that never runs dry. Amen. And we've got to learn how to connect with a source of power. Now, the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, good place to start this. A lot of places we could start this in the Bible when we're talking about connecting with the strength of God. Because it's going to take the strength of the Lord for you to maintain a river of purity in your heart. For if your mind's not going to be a traffic place of the devil, if you're not going to have so many things that the devil's piled up there in the mind, to so many terrors growing in your life, that it is caused to be powerless to God, the power that God has put in your life, then it's going to take the strength of God to do that. Humans can't do that. Human strength cannot stop this attack from darkness that would try to cause weakness in the life of a believer. It's going to take the strength of God. Now, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 5 says, then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, who are we talking about? Elijah. He has just watched the power of God flow through his life. And the power of God has been flowing through Elijah to the place to where he has been able to have one of the greatest demonstrations of the glory of God, possibly that's recorded in the Word. When the prophets of Baal are standing confronting God Almighty, and Elijah becomes the one, the spokesman for God. And through faith in God and through the power of God, Elijah is able to witness the total destruction to Satan's kingdom at that particular moment and saw the glory of God come on. Powerful, powerful, great thing God did. God literally brought fire from heaven, lapped up the sacrifices, the water around it, and destroyed the enemy. Powerful move of God. Oh, that we would just see powerful moves of God. How many like to see that happen to the devil in your life? Yeah. Oh, we would like to see that happen, wouldn't we? But then immediately, the enemy began to come in, and so tares are to weaken Elijah's spirit. The enemy knew how to push Elijah's buttons. He knew that there was this thing, this aggressive Jezebel spirit that for some reason, I don't know what it was in Elijah's past, but the enemy programs us for weaknesses. There's not a one of us here tonight that in our past that the enemy has not programmed us for weaknesses. And he has programmed us so if we ever become a threat to the kingdom of darkness, that he will begin to surface these weaknesses in all of our life. How many has witnessed some of those weaknesses surfacing at an inopportune time in your life? Yeah, me too. And it becomes real embarrassing, doesn't it? Because in one moment we're declaring how strong God is, and then the very next moment we're running with our tail between our legs, so to speak, because those weaknesses are being exposed. And so that's what happened to Elijah. For some reason, probably built into his past, there was this tremendous fear in him to the Jezebel spirit. I don't believe it was a lady. I believe he felt something much stronger and bigger behind her. And the Bible said he began to run, and he went from a great victory to the point of such discouragement that he was wanting to die. And that's where God found him. And that's where our verse takes off there. It says, then as he lay under a broom tree. I mean, that's pretty, got to be pretty bad if you're going to lay under a broom, isn't it, Larry? Suddenly an angel touched him. God's faithful. Somebody say, God's faithful. Somebody say, God's faithful to me. Say, God's faithful to me. God is faithful to me. If an angel is needed, God is faithful to me. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals. God had prepared him a spiritual meal. And I don't think it's any accident because it said it was laying by his head, because in his head was where his battles were. The very place that the enemy was assaulting and attacking him with that spirit of fear. It's always in our thought life. It's always, that's where the enemy's always huffing and puffing. That's where the enemy's trying to get us to judge. That's where the enemy's trying to get us to run in fear. That's where the enemy's trying to get us to respond in a way that's not in faith. It's always in our thought life. And they was on the coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and he lay down again. Verse 7. And then the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. And I want you to know that's the word of the Lord into all of our lives. We must arise and eat, because the journey to get to the place of the miraculous revealed is too great a journey for all of our lives. Now, I don't have to say much to say that this was a supernatural meal. Amen. This was supernatural food. This is food that's been prepared by an angel that was able to be consumed by Elijah and would give him a powerful anointing of strength, unusual strength. In fact, he ran in the strength of this meat for 40 days. He was able to run in the strength of this meat. I'm telling you, God has a strength for us. God has already well prepared the power of God that we will need in all of our lives to resist whatever it takes for us to resist, to allow God to come to the rescue for the glory of God. Wherever the journey is, whether it's a healing journey, whether it's a delivering journey, whether it's a relationship journey, whether it's a family journey, whatever, whether it's a journey to peace, I'm standing before you tonight in the midst of this message. I am receiving strength of God. I say that because there's been in my life in the last few days a real area of weakness. Tonight, I'm wrestling for peace. And I tell you, the greatest time I like to preach on peace is when I'm wrestling for peace. And the thing about getting the peace of God in our life is of utmost importance. And the thing that the devil will fight more than he will fight anything else in your life is for you to get a hold to the grace of God, which is the power of God, and for you to get a hold to the peace of God. Because when you get a hold to the grace of God, you have power to match any enemy. And then when you get a hold to the peace of God. You've called the God of peace that's able to silence any storm that the devil would ever try to rage against you for the glory of God. Amen. The greatest things that we can have in our life, the Bible says righteousness, peace, and joy. They're the processes of the kingdom of God. They're the atmosphere of the kingdom. How do you know that if you're operating according to kingdom values, you look there, see if righteousness, peace, and joy is in your life? That's the economy of God's great kingdom. So those are the areas that we go for in times of struggle. When we're struggling against the enemy, it's to have righteousness, which is to have the peace of God, and it's to have the joy of the Lord in the midst of our life. All right, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. I love that scripture. It said, he gives power to the weak. Somebody say that with me. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. How many of you are qualifying for that one tonight? Amen. He gives power to the weak and he gives strength to the powerless. But those who trust in the Lord, what happens to us? Something supernatural begins to take a hold in our life. We that trust in the Lord, something supernatural is happening to us. We that trust in the Lord, something supernatural is happening to us. We that trust in the Lord, something supernatural is happening to us. Through those that trust in the Lord, something supernatural is happening inside of us even now for the glory of God. But those that trust in the Lord, they will find new strength. Everybody say, I'm ready for new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they'll walk and they will not faint. I want to talk to you about grace tonight. I want to talk to you about the second part of grace. Now, grace has many parts to it, especially to. Now, if I was going to deliver you the subject of grace, I would get William Willis up here because William Willis is the authority on grace of God. Not because he's needed it, just because God gave him some great wisdom in that area. Amen. And so, but I'm going to hone in on one side of grace tonight. And I want to talk to you about the grace of God that's been able to be your strength. You have to treat grace. It's like sucking juice through a straw. I don't know about you. I don't like milkshakes from McDonald's. Anyone like milkshake from McDonald's? The reason I don't like them, they're too thick. You can't get them. You can't get them through the straw. So I go through the Sonic. I say, I want you to make me a real thin shake because I want to be able to suck it up. I'm going to tell you, that's what you have to come when it comes to the grace of God. You have to learn to suck the grace of God into your spirit. You have to learn to pull it. Everybody say, pull it. Draw it. You have to learn to draw it into you. Now, a lot of times we just run and we take the grace of God for granted. But I want us to talk about how we're going to get this strength in our life that's going to help us to resist the devil. Because the Bible tells us that if we can maintain strength and resisting the devil will run from us and God will come on the scene. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, first thing, all right, Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Grace is his power in us. All right, Romans 5, 17. Much more they which receive abundance of grace. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where I needed grace, and then there's been times where I needed greater grace. And there's been a times when I needed abundant grace. It's according to the weakness that I have. And much more grace, abundance grace, and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. Notice, I want you to notice what it says. That God will give us abundant, everybody say, God gives us abundant grace and the gift of righteousness so that I can reign in my life situation. So that I can reign in the circumstances that I'm facing. Whatever it is, God knows it's going to take the grace of God in me. All right, first thing I want to mention to you tonight, I want to talk to you about grace is redemptive. Now, I want to just explain this just for a quick moment here because we're going to talk about the other side of grace. I'm going to talk about the human or the human form of grace. But first I want to mention the positional grace. Grace is redemptive. There's 119 or so approximate truths in the New Testament scripture that tells you what grace has purchased for you in your life. In those scriptures, if someone have a Bible close, can I read it? How big are the words? I don't want one written in German. Has anybody got a big Bible tonight? I'm going to borrow a big Bible. Oh, wow. Hey, that is pretty big. All right, now I want you to find, go over to Ephesians chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1 tonight. I got a little Bible up here with me. I needed a big one. Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, this is what I needed right here. Ephesians chapter 1.
Oh, chapter 1.
Uh-huh. Yeah. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. E-P-H.
I found it, Paul.
All right. All right, now how to get that to disappear?
Click on the chapter, the verse.
Oh, that's pretty good. Okay. All right, there's so many different places. You can take Ephesians chapter 1, and there's so many wonderful, wonderful places that you can just start. Because out of those 119 verses, several of them are found in Ephesians chapter 1. Because it tells you what you have in your redemptive rights in Christ. It's not hard. Thank you. All right, let's just go down to one, and then later I'm going to leave it to you. When you get a Bible where you can read. I mean, I can read mine, but I know you probably can't read yours, so I want to help you out a little bit. So let's go down to verse 11. It says, in him we were also what? What's that word? Verse 11, Ephesians chapter 1, we were chosen. That tells me that in heaven, in my positional right with God, that I am chosen. I stand as God's chosen. It doesn't matter what the enemy would try to tell me. It doesn't matter what the enemy would try to disregard my life with. I can stand before God. And there's approximately 119 of these in the New Testament alone. Thank you. In the New Testament alone that will tell you that the positional right that you have in heaven before God is what the blood has purchased you for you. It's what grace has given to you. In fact, the word grace in its original form, what it simply means, that brings joy. It's that is grace is built on the grace gift, but it's that will release joy in your life. And I want to tell you, when you begin to start through the 119 things that you find that Christ has done for you, and that he stands as your intercessor in heaven, that the blood is calling out over you right now, I tell you what, it releases joy in your life. I don't know what this world's tried to do to you, but the thing about it is when you begin to find out what grace has done for you, then it will powerfully and mightily release joy in the midst of your life. I tell you right now, the blood is shouting out in heaven that Jerry Abels is redeemed. It doesn't matter what the devil tried to tell. He tried to say, you're the same old person you used to be. That's not what heaven says. Coming out of the portals of heaven tonight, I am redeemed. I'm not only redeemed, but I am bought. I've been purchased with a price. So, devil, I don't belong to you anymore. It doesn't matter what you say. I have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And up in heaven tonight, my positional right is that I have been purchased and I have been chosen. Now, I don't care whether you choose me or not. It doesn't matter whether you choose me to be pastor of this church or not. The major thing is I've been chosen by God. I've been chosen in heaven. I belong to him. Can you say amen? And it just releases joy in your life. Man, it just releases joy. And in heaven, that blood is calling out and speaking that over your life. And Jesus stands. He is our attorney that stands there, and he declares that over my life. Where anytime anything, anyone would try to move in against that, he stands up. And he says, Father, they denied me not on earth, and I deny them not here. Amen. My blood has purchased for them. So Jesus stands as my intercessor. But that's my positional right with grace. I want to talk about the other side of grace. The other side of grace is what makes available here on earth. It's what makes available for me to live out on planet earth. Now, a lot of times people just want to stay on one side of grace. And that's their positional right of grace. It's what Christ has done for you. It's what the cross has purchased for you. But I want you to know what Christ has done for me in heaven continues to be a power flow in this earth. That's why today I stand in heaven, God declares healing over my life. I don't have to come to God and beg God to heal me, because in heaven, the blood has purchased my healing. In heaven, I am declared healed. Amen? Amen. But how many of you know it's not just enough to have it in heaven? I am to agree with heaven. I am to declare it in my prayer life. I'm declare it before God until heaven begins to rule over earth, until what God has given me in heaven is able to be lived out on earth. Amen? That's important to know, because, see, in heaven, I am healed. But there's not a one of us that wants to know that you're just healed in heaven. You won't have what's in heaven. That's why the Lord's Prayer says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Bible says, as he is, so are we in this earth. What Jesus has won for me, what he's done for me, it's not a completed work until it's lived out through this flesh and blood body that Christ put here on earth for the glory of God. And that's important to know about grace. That grace not only has a positional, it has a practical life side working in you, bringing into you. For example, how many know that in heaven today, Satan is completely defeated? He has completely defeated. But the Bible says, as I honor the King of Peace in my life, that he shall, talking about future, he shall crush Satan under my feet. That means what's under Jesus' feet, that's my positional right, as I believe God and trust the Lord in it, it will eventually come under my feet for the glory of God. Amen. So what is mine positionally will eventually come into my life practically. So that's so important to realize when it talks about the grace of God that's here. Because I want to talk to you about the grace of God being the power of God. So grace of God is redemptive. Everybody say it's redemptive. And it gives me positional right in heaven. Jesus stands there as my intercessor. Jesus stands there before the Father. And everything that he accomplished for me, he stands there in defense of that. The blood is there, it's sealed with that blood. But I want you to know that not only is that, but grace is also strength. That means God is able to come through in miraculous ways. The grace of God is able to come through in miraculous ways and help me. I mean, when you need God to come through with a miracle, how many have witnessed God coming through in your life in some form, some way of a miracle of God in your life? When the hand of God became strong, when the right hand of God, the strength of God was able through the grace of God to move into your life. Now, I've watched that in provision. I've watched that in healing. I've watched that in God just winning battles that I was going through. I've watched that in God in giving me favor or working out things or removing the enemy out of our path. We watch that. We watch that the grace of God is not only redemptive, not only is the grace of God give me positional right in heaven, but the grace of God also is translated into strength. Ability of God to help me. And God is able in my life to come to my rescue. Everybody say, come to my rescue by the grace of God. By the grace of God. Everybody say, by the grace of God. By the grace of God, I'm helped. By the grace of God, God's going to turn that thing around. By the grace of God, God's going to change that situation for me. By the grace of God, God's going to do it. But not only is the grace of God strength, talking about the right hand, the strong hand of the Lord in my life, but the grace of God is also inward power in my life. And that's why Paul met, and he said that when I'm the weakest, I find out that I can really be the strongest. Because God's grace is able to pour in the midst of our weakness. I believe that the grace of God working in a person's life in the area of strength, it comes, number one, through recognition. You've got to recognize it. You've got to recognize the ability of God to flow in you and give you an inward strength, an inward power that is able to be power lived out in your life. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Amplified Version says, through Christ who infuses inner strength into me. Paul said that he was able to labor more than them all. But he said it wasn't him that labored. It was the grace of God that was laboring in him. Amen. Learning to take advantage of the power of God that God offers us is such an advantage that we have against the enemy. Because it's the enemy's desire to wear you out and to wear you down. But it's the gift of God to give you a power and a strength in the midst of that battle. Amen. So I think, number one, that it would come into your life through recognition, of recognizing God has an inward strength. God has an inward strength that he's wanting to flow into my life. Now, it certainly comes by faith. Every gift of God operates in our life by faith. But faith has at least a twofold purpose. I must believe in my heart, and then I must confess with my mouth. That's why Paul was able to say, I can do all things. And more than others, I think we as the people of God, we're weak because we say we're weak. I think we can't because we say we can't. I believe our confidence has to become on the grace of God and not on our natural brute strength for us to be able to handle situations. We get into situations, you say, I just can't handle that. They're just driving me crazy. I can't do that anymore. When we get into those kind of issues, the enemy has worn us down to where he's almost about to wear us out and then getting us ready for the defeat. We've got to recognize that God has put inside of us a strength for the battle, that we are able, that God gives each one of us this powerful degree of patience. The patience, as far as what the Bible is talk about, that's what a war horse is called. It's the ability to stand in the middle of a battle and to stand firm. And they say that a war horse can even stand so firm that if a fire is burning right beside him, that war horse has such control over himself that war horse can stand there, or the rider has such control over him that war horse can stand, and literally they say the skin will melt from that horse's body before that horse will move, because that horse is waiting for its rider to say charge, and that war horse is ready. God has inside of us the strength of God. We've got to come to a place where we begin to recognize, I can do it. I can handle this. God's power is in me. We're not leaning on ourselves. It's not natural nerves that we're depending on. It's not natural strength that we're depending on. But it's the grace of, I say, it's the grace of God that worketh in us mightily. It's the grace of God. The reason that we can pray long, the reason that we can pray and we can have patience, even if we don't see things turning around, that we can continue to believe God, is because the grace of God is working in us mightily. The grace of God. The grace, the strength of God. It's not my strength. It's not your strength. It's not you using your physical strength to maintain this battle. It's not your strength maintaining your state of faith. It's not your strength. It's the strength of God. There is a grace of God that is in you, the power of God that resides in you. I believe that river has its origin in the very throne of God. In heaven, it paints that river flowing out of the very throne room of heaven. That river is flowing full of power, and it's flowing full of the power of God. Now, it has its ruts are deep, and it cuts right into the depth of my soul. And when rubber meets the road, and when the devil tells me that he's going to blow me down, that's just the time that a believer is able to say, I've got gusto to go, because the grace of God is in me, the grace of God to maintain this battle, the grace of God to maintain my faith, the grace of God to maintain my confession, the grace of God to maintain my joy, the grace of God to maintain my peace, so it doesn't matter what the devil would try to huff or puff, he can't blow this house down, because the grace of God is working in us mightily for the glory of God. Amen. Most battles just simply take outlasting the devil. You hear me? Most battles, the devil does not have patience. Do you understand? He doesn't have the fruit of the Spirit in his life. The devil is impatient. That's why the Bible says, if you resist him, that talks like, it sounds like just a little small thing, doesn't it? Well, if a believer is depending on their own strength, they can't resist the devil in any way. But if the believer is dependent on the grace of God that's in them mightily, if the believer is depending, then they can resist the devil. And they can resist him, and that rascal that has no patience at work in his life can only fight you for a while. But if you resist him, the Bible says he will eventually turn and flee from you. We just got to outlast the devil. Do you understand? The stuff that's in us is strong. The stuff that's in us is powerful. The stuff that in us is strong enough to outlast, outman, outgun, outfight, outmaneuver the devil for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. It's the grace of God that's working in us mightily. Amen. Amen. Now, the positional grace of God. The positional grace of God, like this, says, I'm healed. The practical grace of God said, I'm receiving it. Or I'm healed by basis of my position in heaven. But the enemy's resisting that. That's what the book of Daniel, chapter 10, gives us insight in. That in the airways, in the heavenly spheres, the enemy is trying to resist your miracles. He's resisting that. And some way in the realm of the spiritual, what I don't understand, that the enemy is able to resist what God's trying to send to you in your life. But if you're able to maintain through the grace of God, if you're able to maintain through the grace of God, if you're able to maintain through the grace of God, if you're able to maintain through the grace of God, if you're able to maintain through the grace of God, if you're able to maintain through the grace of God, if you're able to maintain through the grace of God, amen, amen, God's promise is that you will overpower the enemy because greater is he. That's where? That's where? Where is he? Is he out here? Where is he? Greater is he where? In here. The grace of God that's working in us mightily. So the next time the devil tries to raise up his ugly head, said, I'm not going to allow you to be done. I'm not going to allow that. I'm not going to let you get that promotion. I'm not going to let that thing work out for you. I'm not going to allow that healing. You just stand up and say, hey, devil, the grace of God is working in me mightily. Making me strong. Persevere for the glory of God. And I'm going to resist you, devil. And I'm going to be the one that's laughing when you're running for the glory of God. Do you hear what I'm telling you? God's grace. Everybody say, God's grace. And then right behind it, I got 2 minutes. Let me speak for a quick minute on the peace of God. Maintaining with the grace of God while you're standing in the peace of God. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Now that tells me that I have something to do with it. That I have something to do with allowing my life to move into peace in the midst of the storm. The Bible says, I must let it rule. See, because everything else is going to try to rule. The circumstance is going to try to rule. Fear is going to try to rule. Worry is going to try to rule. All of that's going to try to rule. But I've got to make a decision what's going to rule my heart. I've got to make the decision. I'm going to let the peace of God rule in my heart. Now, a lot of times to let the peace of God, we got to disable our flesh. Because, see, our flesh is used to ruling our life. And our flesh is usually putting us in frustration, panic attacks, all types of situations, running in fear, fretting all night, worry, crying yourself to sleep at night, all those kind of things. That's the flesh ruling, or that's the emotional ruling in the midst of life. One of the greatest examples of it I know is Jacob that was wrestling with his flesh. And the Bible said that he wrestled with it. He wrestled with the Lord. Until the Lord was touched the area of flesh and disabled that part of that flesh. And Jacob walked with a limp. I'm going to tell you what. If we're going to allow God to move in us mightily spiritually, we're going to have to allow God to disable some of our flesh. You understand what I'm saying? You understand? We got to allow God. That flesh has tried to rule us. That flesh has tried to control us. That flesh, we've got to allow God, and the Spirit of God, through the grace of God, will disarm that has tried to harm us and tried to keep us in the flesh. But if we will let God, God will disarm it, just the same as going in and disarming a bomb. As God moves into our situation, and then God will begin a work of disarming it. And we will have to wrestle with that flesh a little bit. Listen, just because your flesh screams doesn't mean it's in control. There's a lot of things that scream that's not in control. In fact, most time, it doesn't matter who's in control, it's who's in charge. You understand? And what you've got to do, you've got to rise up and you've got to begin to resist those areas of your flesh that's fighting against your peace, that's not allowing your peace to rule your life. You have to rise up and say, no, I'm not going to worry about that. I choose not to worry about that. I choose not to fret about that. I choose to put that out of my mind. Let me give you a secret as far as the peace of God too. Choose the times that you will think about something. Somebody says, well, I've got to think about that. That problem is really happening. You can choose the time that you think about problems. What I usually try to do in my life, I say, I'll think about you in the morning, in the midst of worship, and in the midst of praise. When I get up to pray and I'm in the presence of God, I'm going to think about you. And when I think about you, God's going to give me a solution. Other people, they wring their hands day and night. They wring their hands 24 hours a day. You're letting the devil just wind you up on his little finger. You got to make choices in your life. You got to let the peace of God rule. Everybody say, let the peace of God. You've got to let the peace of God rule in your life. And one of the major ways you can, you determine when you're going to think about something. And you think about it in the presence of God. I was talking about in the prayer meeting at 4 o'clock. Because I'm emotional. I'm a weeper. How many weepers do we have here tonight? I'm a weeper. I weep. It's very common for me to weep. But I'm very careful where I weep. I try not to allow my weeping to control me. If I allow myself to weep at will, then my emotions will try to pull my faith into a disaster. They'll try to pull me into a self-pity mode. So what I choose to do, I choose to weep in the presence of God. Everybody say, I can trust the presence of God. And when you're in the presence of God, I'll weep, I'll cry, I'll bawl my eyes out. You understand? Because in the presence of God, I can trust my emotions. In the presence of God, I can't trust them. I can't trust them to handle difficulties through the day. I can't trust my emotions when I'm having to deal on the run. And so you've got to take the thing. You've got to take charge of your life. Everybody say, take charge of your life. If you're going to let the peace of God rule in your life, you've got to let peace rule. Anything that does not minister peace into your life, you've got to set it aside until it's appropriate time where the power of God can handle and deal with that. Don't try to deal with it prematurely. Can you say amen for the glory of God? Well, I believe with all of my heart that God has grace for the life. I believe we can outlast the devil. I believe we can outgun the devil. I believe we can outtalk the devil. I believe we can outmove the devil. I believe we can outpower the devil. I believe we can outsmart the devil. I believe we can stay ahead of the devil. I believe we can win over the devil because the grace of God is working in us mightily. And while the grace of God is working in us mightily, God's going to help us to let peace rule. That means when the storm gets bigger than me, I'm going to let the God of peace crush Satan underneath my feet while I just stay worshiping the God of peace for the glory of God. Can you say amen? So we're going to let grace, everybody say grace and peace, rule in our life. Lord, we thank you and we just give you praise, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst tonight. And Lord, I thank you that you're helping us. You're helping us, God, as we put on the mind of a warrior. Lord, as we put on the mindset, as we put on a mindset of a warrior to be able to handle battle, to be able to walk through battles, to be able to win in battles. Lord, I thank you for the glory of God. Somebody, how many is here tonight that you're going through a battle? But even so, right tonight, somewhere in the midst of praise or something, God unctioned you that he was going to win that thing. God unctioned you that God is going to win that thing. If I want you to just stand. Anybody here that tonight, somewhere, that God unctioned you, that God unctioned you that you're going to win that thing. That God unctioned you that you're going to win that thing. That God gave you a prompting that you're going to win that thing. That God gave you a prompting that you're going to win that thing. That you're going to win that thing. You're not going to be left on the side of the road bleeding and dying from the processes of your battle. That God has prompted you that you're going to win that thing for the glory of God. Let's just take our hands. We want to raise them toward heaven. I want to say, thank you, Lord, for revealing to us your intention in our life. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you have revealed to us the treasure that you have awaiting for us. And I want to thank you, Lord, as we put on the right mind, Lord, as we put disciplines back into our life, and Lord, as we set a guard over our thought life, and then, Lord, we labor with the grace of God working in us mightily, and we determine to stay in peace, we're going to win this thing for the glory of God. We're going to win this thing for the glory of God. We're going to win this thing for the glory of God. We're going to win this thing for the... Come on. Somebody pick up a little harmony with me. We're going to win this thing for the glory of God. We're going to win this thing for the glory of God. We're going to win this thing for the glory of God. God's going to help us, and we're going to win this thing for the glory of God. Give the Lord a rejoicing, would you? Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.